So I'm going to skip over a few chapters, and then I'm going to skip through a few chapters, and then we're going to look in on chapter 20 especially. Go to chapter 15. I just pick up with chapter 15 with King Asa, because King Asa becomes a standard that God uses for righteousness as a king. I'm giving you this so that you can study it. But a prophet came to King Asa. He had had great victory. All right, what's the name of the prophet? I don't have this in a diagram for you, but the lady who's working back there, she's able to do this. The king is Asa. In verse 2, you meet him there, but he's already been in office. The prophet is Azariah, or Azariah, if you want to say it that way. Verse 1 of chapter 15. And what happened? The spirit of whom? God did what? Came upon. I want you to get the language of the prophetic. This is not Azariah thinking, you know, I haven't had any opportunity to speak with the king lately. I better get a word so I can go see him so my name can be in the magazines that I prayed for the king. No. Who initiated it? God initiates the prophetic. The prophetic may be activated by our seeking God, and I'm going to show you that. It may be by our seeking God, but the prophetic is initiated by God himself. If he doesn't want to talk, he's not talking. But if you seek him and ask him, he's most likely going to want to talk. Somebody gave me a personal testimony of that last night, asking God a question, and then God did answer with a dream and clarity. All right, read verse 1 with me again. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, or Azariah, and almost always the pedigree of the prophet is given, the son of Oded. And he, who is he now? Azariah, or Azariah. He went out to what? To meet Asa. Did Asa call for him? Was Asa expecting him? Nope. He found out which way Asa was going, and he went with a purpose to arrest the king and to speak to the king without having been called. Is he worried about whether the scepter is going to rise? Nope. He went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, what are his first words? Listen to me. King James, hear ye me, O Asa. And with Asa, can you see he's a prophet to the nation now? Yes. Which nation? Judah. And together with Judah is Benjamin, the tribe, but the nation is Judah. So he's speaking to the king first, and it's a word for the nation. Hallelujah. Now, look at the name, the Lord, if you have it if it's four capital letters, is it in your Bible?
Yes.
That stands for Jehovah. It specifically replaces the Yahweh. I guess the New King James, the translators, and I think New King James carries the same, but the translators kind of took the thing where they felt that Yahweh was too holy to say. So they put it into Lord with four capital letters to say this isn't the word that refers to the powerful one. It is to the covenant God of Israel. It's to the eternal, self-existing God. Neither created, made, nor born. Always was, always is. The unchanging eternal God. And because he is an unchanging God, his word is unchanging, and the word of the Lord endures forever. And so if the Lord says to you, this is what I will do, count on it. He will do it. Your generation may mess it up and not get it, but there will be a generation who will find the fulfillment of the word. And therefore it comes down to this, the covenant-keeping God. The God who made covenant with Abraham, and then renewed it with Isaac, and then with Jacob. is the God who will do exactly what he said. And thankfully, he has invited us into that covenant by faith. But there are certain covenants with Israel that still stand that have to do with land and position in the world that we're called to bless Israel so that we can be blessed as well. So it's the covenant God of Israel be with you. Now watch. He is with you. If your Bible has is in italics, it's because the Hebrew does not have the verb is. The state of being isn't verbalized. It just is. So Jehovah with you means he is always with you. Uh-oh, conditional. While you be with him. We're back to the Lord's side. Remember we talked about that last night. You want the Lord on your side? Then get on the Lord's side. And second, if you what? Seek him, he will be found. But, and a study of the word but in the Bible will give you insights into God. But if you do what? Forsake him, he will forsake you. And then God, through the prophet, addresses the politics and the condition of Israel in recent times. And for a long season, Israel has been, give me three conditions, has been one, without what? The true God. He's speaking, the prophet is speaking of Jehovah. The second condition of Israel, without a teaching priest. And thirdly, without law. 1960 United States of America. 1962. The true God was removed from office by the Supreme Court of the United States. And so the next step was to remove the teaching of our children, even the Lord's Prayer that begins, "Our Father who art in heaven," what? "Hallowed be thy name," that means holy and set apart from all others, distinct from all other gods. "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done," where? "On earth as it is being done in heaven." And closes out with, "For thine is the power and the glory." Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. How long? Forever. We ripped the forever out for the United States of America. "For ours is the kingdom, and ours is the power, and ours is the glory." That's why we have to be careful how we speak of our nation as the greatest nation of all time, etc. Because what comes can go. Because our greatness did not depend upon anything that we did except. What did he say? If you do what? If you are with God, if you're covenanted with God, if you're aligned with God, secondly, if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you do what? You forsake him, he has no obligation to you. And these are principles. And so, without the true God, that's when the king decided, well, I'm not going to let my people go up to the house of God, because if they do, they'll forsake me and they'll go and they'll be true. No, so I'll make gods for them. And since that time, they've been without the true God. Number two, they have been without what? A teaching priest. They're not getting the law, the word of God. They're not getting the scriptures. They don't have a priest teaching them the ways of the kingdom of God, the ways that people are to interact, the ways that husbands and wives are to live and teach their children, the ways that you are to relate to your neighbor, the ways that you are to take judgment. so that there isn't one wait for one person and another wait for another. God gave the rules for every part of life because he wanted righteousness, holiness. But the priest was supposed to go. The priests lived out throughout the country so that they could teach in that place. And the synagogue became the teaching place. It wasn't supposed to be a place to teach them why they didn't trust somebody else. It was to teach them how to live. Now they don't have teaching priests. Well, the school became a place. When I went to grade school, we had Christmas programs with real Christmas carols. When I went to school, we had an Easter program, and we had a Christmas vacation, and we had an Easter vacation. We didn't have a winter break and a spring break. Do you understand? Do you understand? The word Christmas was removed from the vacation. The word Easter was removed from the vacation. Okay, so you can say it's because there are some people who don't believe in Christmas. We're not doing it for that. We're just doing it because it's time for a break. No, 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 no. You just removed Christ from school. You just removed Christ. Christmas is the mass to celebrate the birth of Christ. You removed Easter, which was a pagan holiday, but was redeemed by Jesus when he resurrected on that day. Was resurrected. You removed Christ so that your students don't have any awareness that this school honors the place that Christ had in history, that we do AD and BC because of Christ. That whole thing is taken because there's not supposed to be any teaching inside the school. Did you watch how ridiculous it got? That a teacher couldn't have a Bible in her possession in the classroom without a judge in the end ruling on that? Or a student can't open a Bible while he's in school? How far this has gone? This is what Israel came to. Because there was no teaching priest teaching them the ways of God. And what's the third thing? No law. No law. So what is the word for lawlessness? Anarchy. Arch, A-R-C-H, is for highest level of rule. And the A-N means taken away. So all authority has been removed. Now, I told you I started teaching in 1962 when the Supreme Court did that. Removed prayer. The next year, removed Bible reading. That's from our nation. And in my opinion, they took God out of office and ruled that the Supreme Court is the supreme judge now of the universe. 1960s are referred to as a decade in a special way. The primary thing is rebellion. We remove the highest authority. We remove the authority of the Word of God. We remove the authority of thine is the kingdom. So there's no higher authority. We remove the foundation of the Word of God that you're taught. Now we have to have anti-bullying seminars in the schools. Well, I used to hold one too. It was called Morning Devotional in the classroom, where we read scriptures such as, "Be ye kind one to another, forgiving and forbearing one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." That was an anti-bullying seminar. See, the Ten Commandments take away all of that stuff that we're dealing with. Anyway, and so what happened before the 1960s was finished? Draft dodgers, the authority of the government cannot call me. I'll go to Canada, I'll go someplace else, or I'm just not going to report, or I'm going to stage a rebellion. It was rebellion, rebellion. Drugs flooded into the country. Music went wild. Rock music began to rule. And tied up with Eastern religion, say it, Eastern religion, that means coming from a foreign land in to rule, and drugs and Eastern religion, I've watched documentaries on this with rock musicians telling how they tied up with those Eastern religions, and the trips that they took on LSD are described in, for example, the Tibetan Book of Death, and the journey that the soul takes after death is the trip that they used to take. Remember they talk about the trip they would take on LSD? They were getting it right out of the Tibetan Book of Death. For example, I watched the documentary on this, said, whoa! And the music would begin. Don't you miss lyrics? I mean, poetry, even love lyrics. At least they said something besides, I think you're hot. I'm in a store, this repetition. All they need is one line, and they call it a bestseller. And they repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. You know, when Jesus said they think in their praying that if they do much repetition, they'll be heard more. Well, that has, and it can take over gospel music, worship music, by the much repetition. Where rather, if we're rehearsing the law of God in our music, if we're rehearsing our theology in our music, we're being filled with the Word of God. If it's filled with the Word of God, it's preparing us. But with rock music, drugs, witchcraft, Haight Ashbury, kids leaving home, and the generation gap. If a person is over 30, as a kid, as a teenager, you can't talk to them. They don't understand you. That was being taught to our children. You don't listen to your parents. You don't listen to teachers. And rebellion came so far. I'm a little extreme. You're going to say so. I am a little extreme. But a baseball hat that was made with a visor to go to the front goes to the back. Underwear started to be worn inside out. I mean outside instead of inside. It's called what? Underwear. And it became outerwear, deliberately wearing it outside the outer clothes. It's called rebellion. And rebellion became the characteristic of the 60s. And that generation grew up to rule our nation. Without law. There's no law. So that now the president, and I heard the previous president say, I don't need to wait for Congress. I can make this. I heard it again and again. We don't need to wait for Congress. Well, I thought there was a law about Congress making laws. Now the Supreme Court makes the laws instead of interprets the laws. And the Congress doesn't have the courage to make a good law. And now the Congress themselves are breaking the law. Okay, I'm not talking about Israel for the moment. But you know, it's true, isn't it? But God says this to Asa, the king of Judah, saying, this is what has happened to Israel. Verse 4, but when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and did what? They sought him, and he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but there was great vexation or troubles upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and nation was destroyed by nation and city by city. But God was the one who was vexing them with all adversity. Verse 7 now. Now, see, this is nice for your promise box. But you don't get it by just isolating this verse. There's a why. Be ye strong, therefore, King of Judah, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Verse 8, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, oh, I thought it was the son. Yeah, but it indicates to us that Oded himself was a prophet who might also be prophesying, but it also is true that sometimes a son is called by his father's name. I've been in countries where that's so. And even mothers, okay, I wouldn't refer to you as Marianne in parts of Uganda. I would say Mama Elizabeth. It's as though you don't have a name. It comes by your children. So the culture can mean that a parent can be called by the child's name or the child by the parents, and it's the association. But you see the generations of the prophetic. And when he heard this, verse 8, what did he do? He took courage and he did what? He acted. He put away the abominable idols, the vile idols, out of all the land of what? Judah and Benjamin. Why? Not Israel. He doesn't have authority over Israel. He has a domain of Judah. And God used the example of Israel and said, there's a danger that this can happen to Judah. And Asa said, I'm not going to let it happen. And so he didn't let it happen. And then you read what he did. And he established, oh my goodness, he established it to such a degree, verse 12, that they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with how much? All their heart and all their soul. And verse 13, how far did the covenant go? You want Old Testament law? And whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be the death penalty, whether small or great. Didn't matter what your office, how rich you are. You're going to seek the Lord, nor whether it's man or woman, and they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. This is a political rally. To say who is the great one, that we're seeking God. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with how much? All their heart. And they had sought him with their whole desire. And what happened? He was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest and peace. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. This is the king's mother, the queen mother. And Asa himself cut down her idol. He stamped it, or he crushed it, and he burnt it at the brook Kidron. The brook Kidron is the trash dump of Israel, of Jerusalem. Jesus walked through that on his way to Calvary. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of whom? Asa the king was perfect all his days, and he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, the things that he himself had dedicated. This is restoring holiness by the symbolism of the holy things, and there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. And then something bad happened. He wanted unity. Let's make peace with the king of Israel. And chapter 16, he made a league. Say league. Verse 3. With the king of Syria. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. And he said, there's a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and your father. I've sent you silver, I've sent you gold. Go break your leave with Baasha, king of Israel. Now he's going to divide himself from king of Israel by saying, don't be in league with him. Come be in league with us. We'll accept you. Yeah. Did he get away with it? So now Asa, who's been perfect, decides to make a league with the king of Syria, Damascus. And verse 7, who showed up? A prophet, the seer. I've not seen him before. I haven't heard of him before. Hanani. He came to Asa. Do you see that Asa didn't call for him? And Asa's not going to be happy about it. And you see how God established how peace was there and God's blessing was there as long as they sought the Lord. Now watch what happens. He shows up, meets Asa, king of Judah, and he said to him, because you have, watch the king word, the key word, you have what? Relied on the king of Syria. And you have not, say it, not relied on whom? The Lord, that's Jehovah, your God. Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. What's that mean? I would have let you conquer Syria. You made a league with them, and now you're not going to have any victory over them, and they're going to be a problem to you. And then he reviews their history. We're not the Ethiopians and the Lubim, a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen. And yet, because you did what? Rely on the Lord. He delivered them into your hands. See the opposite? Now you're going to lose. You're not going to gain. You're not going to prevail. But you're actually going to lose the opportunity to have victory. But in this case, you relied on the Lord and you prevailed over them. And verse 9, ready? This is one of your promise box verses. But it's not stand alone. Ready? For the eyes of Jehovah do what? Run to and fro throughout what? The whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of the ones whose heart is perfect or completely turned toward him. Herein you have done foolishly. He doesn't call him a fool. Because people who are usually wise can do foolish things. You have done foolishly. And therefore from henceforth you shall have wars. You had peace. And now you're going to have wars from this time on. Now, the question is whether Asa is wise enough to receive the wise word of the prophet. How does he respond? He was angry. He was wroth. With whom? The prophet, the seer. And did what? Silenced him. Restricted him, put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And then what did Asa do? He became an oppressor of all of his people. Dictatorship was set in. Because when you start restricting the word of God and you restrict the prophets, the spokesman for God, you are defending yourself, setting yourself up as superior to God, not subject to the word of God or to the people who bring the word of God to you. And then you become an oppressor over God's people. The history is clear. And verse 12. Well, it says all his acts were written in the book of, in verse 11. Verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, got gout or something. He was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, what? He sought not to the Lord, but to whom? Physicians and doctors. I consulted a doctor in this place this morning. We're not against doctors. And he slept with his fathers and died in the 41 year. 2 years he suffered until he died, rather than call upon God. Lay your hand on the page. Pray for America. Lord, I thank you for the history in America of our founders. Maybe not every single one of them, but as a whole, they sought God. They went on their knees while writing our documents to seek God. They consulted the scriptures when making our laws. And we thank you for our heritage. But we also recognize that our nation has gone far away from you. And so we pray for today. Will you first of all give us leaders who care about the Word of God? Secondly, will you raise up true prophets, even who address leaders at highest levels? And thank you for the opportunity you gave Asa to have the blessing of the Lord. Thank you for recording the story where we see that a wise king did foolishly and then became as a fool, because a fool has said in his heart, there's no God. I'm not going to consult God. I'm not going to ask God. Why should I serve God? I'm not going to pray to God. Lord, deal with us in our personal situations as well. In Jesus' name, amen.